dead. Praise the Lord. Awesome singing this evening. If you have any Bibles with you, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're continuing our study on Can You See It? This is where we're looking at the phrases in the scripture where Paul and Peter either says, know ye not, or knowing this. And the word knowing is from the Greek word agneo. So it's where we kind of get the word agnostic from. It's like without knowledge. What Paul is basically saying is don't be ignorant. That's kind of what he's saying. Don't be foolish. Don't be ignorant. I want you to get this. It's not necessarily going back to basics, but it is stuff that we kind of should know. So Paul says, know ye not. Don't miss this. Understand this. Don't be ignorant. Can you see it? Know ye not the Christian is under new management. So there's been an overhaul. There's been a renovation. We have changed lives. We build, know ye not, we build with new materials. We're not building with wood, hay, and stubble. We're building with gold, silver, precious stones. And we also have a new monarch. Somebody new sits upon the throne of our heart. And what Paul says in this passage, know ye not, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I want us to see that we have a new motivation. A new motivation. We live in a day and age where we give out trophies for everything. When we were in school, we had sports. I hated sports. I was never really that good when I was little at sports. I was better when I got a little bit older and got into comp. But when I was in primary school, I was rubbish. David Newsray was the fastest boy in our class. And he always won everything. And I'd always get stuck with a three-legged race. I hated the three-legged race. What a pointless exercise. Especially if you were with somebody taller. They just literally dragged you up the whole yard. But anyway, you still only had prizes for first, second, and third. But now we get participation trophies. You get something for taking part. I used to drive Joe absolutely crazy. We used to have game night in our house on a Monday night. We'd play board games. Hannah and I are the same person. We do not mix well together when there's competition. And Joe would say the same thing over and over again. Let them win. No! I'm building character. Plus, it's the only opportunity I've got to win. So I would drive Joe crazy. But Paul actually issues a challenge here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? What does the next part say? He doesn't say, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Sorry. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But everyone gets a participation trophy. No, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Know ye not, we have a new motivation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, for this time together, for this opportunity to come around you a word. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight, that you'd help us, Lord, recognize the importance of not just running our race, but winning our race. And Father, when we realize what's at stake, we have a new motivation. We have a new motivation to train. We have a new motivation to compete. We have a new motivation to just run. We have a new motivation because of what awaits us at the end of that race. And Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, that you'd encourage us, that you'd challenge us, that you'd equip us, and that you'd help us, Lord, not just to run, but to run to win. Father, we pray and ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. We are not here in the Christian life for a participation trophy. We are here to run the race in a Christian life to win the prize. Let me just put it this way. If everybody gets a participation trophy, guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to be motivated. There's going to be no motivation. Well, everyone wins. Imagine if that was the attitude in the Olympics. You know, they'd all be lined up on the 100 meters, the pinnacle of like man's demonstration of speed and where they've come. They're all lined up there on the starting block and they're ready to go and there's anticipation. And then the starting gun goes bang. And they're like, well, we're all going to win something. So, you know, it's not really any kind of rush to do this in under 10 seconds, is it? No, they've trained for that moment to win. Not to participate, not to have a pat on the back and say, oh, well done, you know. Anybody who's ever said it's the taking part that counts, they're always the ones on the losing side. You never see the winning team saying, oh, well, it's the taking part that counts. No, the losers say that. It's not the taking part that counts. I have never gone to a rugby match and shouted for a team and gone, oh, well, you know, at least their kit looks nice. At least they look good in red. No, you want them to win. That's why it was really tough watching the Six Nations this year. Because you don't, you know, the people who said, oh, well, at least they got the wooden spoon. That doesn't help. Oh, if we haven't won it for 23 years, I'd like it to be another 23 years before we have it again. You know, we don't watch sports and we don't support teams for them to take part. We support teams to see them win. When we think about it, the purpose of any sport is to win, not taking part. And it's the same for us as believers. You know, Paul refers to our Christian life as a race. And that was one of Paul's favorite illustrations. You know, at this time, there was about four, I think, games. The Olympics and the Isthmian Games were, you know, the most popular. I think there was the Corinthian Games as well. So Paul uses the illustration of a race, that the Christian life is like a race. He brings our attention to that. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. The word race is a Greek word, actually, from where we get the word stadium from. And it speaks of an arena from which there is set down a fixed course of measured length, which the individuals who enter the race are to run. We've heard this expression before in Hebrews, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Our life is like a race. Right, I need some volunteers. James, can you come to the front of the church for me? Brilliant. Make it snappy. Andrew Davis, come to the front of the church for me. He's asthmatic. He'd be all right. We saw last week, we had surrounding Jan last week, we got 12 nurses, two paramedics and an undertaker. So we'd be all right. Okay. We're going to have a race. Okay, so you stand there. I want you to stand level with that wall there. Andrew, if you can stand level with that wall there, we will need to make it fair. Okay, when I say go, you've got to get to the door, okay? On your marks. Get set. Oh, do we need to fill any waiver forms or anything? I'm glad Claire's not here tonight, but she'd be doing a risk assessment. Go! You haven't touched the door yet. Okay, so thank you, guys. So let me ask this question. Who won? How did James win? Who said? I didn't say that they were racing against each other. I just said they were in a race. You see, the problem is we lose our motivation when we think the race is against other people. You're not racing against other people when it says, run the race. Those that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. You're not racing. James wasn't racing against Andrew to win the prize. Andrew came first in his race. because his race is against himself. James came first in his race because his race is against himself. The biggest problem we have as Christians is we think that we're running against one another. You know, immediately. And Andrew's quite competitive, actually. So I did have to ask him not to run when I asked him to take part, because it probably would have been quite close, and he probably would have had an asthma attack as well. But Paul said in the latter stage of his life, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. And here's the thing, the course for Paul was slightly different than the course for Peter. Was slightly different than the course for John. You know, their race, their stadium, their track was laid out slightly differently for each one. Paul wasn't racing against Apollos. Paul wasn't racing against Peter. Paul wasn't racing against John. Paul wasn't racing against anyone other than himself. I have finished my course. I have fought the fight. I have won my race. He refers to the Christian life as a race. He also referred to the Christian life as a game, not as a game that we would view it today. But he says in verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. The word that every man that striveth for the mastery is a translation of the Greek word from which we get our English word agony. Agonize. It speaks of competing in a contest. It speaks of competing with such vigor that your muscles ache. Now, here's the thing. If James knew that he was racing against this frail old man, well, you did refer to me as being similar to Jason to Jason Mogg. If James knew he was racing against Andrew, he'd be like, piece of cake. I got this in the bag. So what wouldn't he have done then? He wouldn't have given it his all. He'd have been like, piece of cake. If Andrew turns and thinks, what's James got on me? Like 50 plus years, 50, 60 years on me, 50, James got a few years on me. You know, Andrew could have looked across there and said, there's no way. I'm not winning against him. So I'm not going to give it 100%. But his race wasn't against James, and James's race wasn't against him. Their race was against themselves, and therefore, what we do then as believers is we give 100%. Paul refers to our life as a race, as a game. And I think this probably sums up the Christian life more than anything. He refers to our life as a boxing match. How many of you feel like that sometimes? He says, I therefore surrender, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. The word there, fight, is literally the Greek word pugma, which means using your fists as a weapon. So Paul is basically saying, I run not as uncertainly, I box, not as one that is just punching the air. In each of these things, whether it was a run, whether it was a game, whether it was boxing, the idea was to win. And Paul makes that statement, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. One wins the race. He didn't say it's the taking part that counts. So what does that mean to us? As Christians, we have a new motivation. We have a new motivation to run. That's our purpose. Our purpose is to run. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that they may obtain. Paul just didn't live life. He recognized that he had a purpose in living his life. Paul was preaching to a crowd, and some of his enemies were able to turn the crowd against him, and they stoned him, they dragged him outside the city, they left him for dead. And as soon as Paul came to, the Bible says he got back up and he went back into the city. That was his purpose. He had a new motivation to run his race. You know, sometimes what we lack in our lives is purpose. And I'm going to ask you this question. I always go back to dieting or something like that. But, you know, oftentimes when there's no purpose in dieting, we kind of like, oh, what's the point? But when maybe there's a wedding coming up, or there's a holiday coming up, or, you know, you've visited the doctor, and the doctor says you've got to lose weight, or suddenly there's a purpose. There's a new motivation. And as believers in Christ, we have a motivation to run our race. We have a purpose, as it were, to run our race, to just keep going. That's why Paul could say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Who remembers the Rocky films? Remember Rocky? Oh, my days. I remember, I can't think of the guy's name. Was it Buster Meredith? The guy who used to play the penguin in the Batman film. Was it Buster Meredith? Burgess. Anyway, Rocky's trainer. He said this to Rocky. He said that he was a contender because he had a desire to win. You know, the reason that we got people dropping out of the church is because there's no desire to win. Purpose is gone. The reason we got people dropping out of the Christian race is because there's no desire to win. The purpose is gone. The reason people stop reading their Bible is because there's no desire. The purpose has gone. There's a huge difference between being contenders and pretenders. Pretenders are concerned about image and impression. Contenders are concerned about authenticity and integrity. Pretenders settle for mediocrity. Contenders strive for excellence. Pretenders quit in difficulty, but the contender grows through difficulty. What Paul is trying to say is if you want to win this crown, if you want to get this prize, this incorruptible crown, then we've got to have that same spirit. We've got to recognize that we have a new motivation. There's a new purpose in our lives to actually get up and run. Everyone's running in the race. But he says here that we may obtain. And that word there, obtain, means to seize eagerly that which you have set your eyes upon, that which you have set your heart upon. And that's what we should do as believers. You know, we're not in the race to be half-hearted, which is why it's not the participation. We've got to put the effort in. This is the way we should live our Christian lives. We should run the race that is set before us. We should seize the opportunity, not as uncertainty. He says, I run with eagerness. I don't run uncertainly, because that makes a difference to the outcome of the race. There's nothing done here which is half-hearted, or there's nothing done here because I've got a new motivation. I've got this purpose to run my race. But not only is it a new motivation to run the race, that's his purpose, there's a new motivation to train. That's his practice. You know, the one thing that I always find quite comical in January is how many people go to the gym in January. For regular attenders of the gym, I know January is the worst time for them because they've been in the gym all year. And then suddenly in January, everybody's dressed up in lycra. Brand spanking new, some with the tags still on. But that motivation doesn't last very long. They don't train very long. And it takes discipline. You know, when you look at our, you know, and I love it, we are armchair rugby coaches or managers, or we all know how the game should be played, and if we were coaching, how differently we would do it. And I remember listening to Warren Gatland say that when he came to Wales, the first person he met in Morrison's supermarket in Cardiff was a little old lady, and she was walking up there and she said to him, "Welcome to Wales, Warren Gatland, Mr. Gatland." She said, "I am one of the 3 million selectors that Wales has. Everybody else knows how to play the game. But I can promise you this, if I rocked up at Sardis Road or I went to Cardiff or I went to the Principality Stadium and tried to play against the professional players, it wouldn't last 2 minutes. Because they train. Because they've been doing this. That's what their purpose is. That's what they practice at. And they have that discipline, as it were. You know, if they didn't have that practice, then they wouldn't be any good. You know, as Christians, we do need to practice. But we have a new motivation now because of what Christ has done in us and for us, that we want to be better. You know, we want to, if you've ever done anything, Andrew's not here tonight, but he's training for an Ironman, which I think he's doing in September. When he first started, you know, I bet he struggled with some of the things, whether it was the cycling or whether it was the swimming or whether it was the running. But the more you train, then the easier some of those things become. And suddenly you don't feel like your chest is going to cave in, you know, when you start running the first 10 yards out of the house. But the more you do it, the more natural it becomes. As Christians, the more we face difficulty, I'm not going to say the easier it becomes, but the more natural it becomes to deal with it. Why? Because it's all about practice. You know, sometimes we view the pitfalls in life. Sometimes we view the difficulties in life. Sometimes we view the heartaches in life. Sometimes we view the tribulations in life as a stumbling block, as a pain, as a bump in the road, as something to be like, oh, let's just get through this. It's part of our training. And that's where practice comes in. Because the next time that happens, guess what? We're able to deal with it in a more Christ-like way because we learn from mistakes. You know, they always say, you can make as many mistakes as you want on the training ground. Try not to make those mistakes on the pitch. You know, the Lord brings certain things our way so that we can learn from those mistakes, because Christian maturity doesn't just happen. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Hebrews 12:7 says, if ye endure chastening, that's hardship, God dealeth with you as with sons. Endure, exercise. You know, Paul said to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. All right, John, you okay? Sorry, last time Shirley was watching the Facebook service, but I don't even think it was our service. There's no shortcuts to peak physical condition. You know, somebody doesn't say, you know, when the 2012 Olympics came to London, somebody didn't just say then in the February, oh, do you know what, I think I'm going to compete for the Olympics. No, they'd been training for 4 years and longer to get to that point of peak physical condition. But I think sometimes Christians just think, I can just rock up and I can breeze through the Christian life. I got this in the bag, no problem. No, it doesn't work like that. Sometimes it's tough. There's no shortcuts to peak physical condition, and there's no shortcuts to peak spiritual condition. We've got a new motivation to run. That's our purpose. We've got a new motivation to train. That's our practice. And then we've got a new motivation to compete. That's our participation. He says in verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Every man that participates in the games is temperate in all things. Name the game, he says. It doesn't matter which game you're talking about. There is one requirement common to all. Every man that striveth for the mastery, every man that striveth in the games has to have practice, has to have trained, has to compete, has to participate. You know, there are certain things that an athlete has to give up in order to be able to compete. You know, I remember years ago before, and I'm sorry I keep talking about rugby, but that's kind of the only sport I know. But I remember years ago, before rugby went professional, Wales were, all the boys were out after the game, doing what Welsh people normally do after rugby, and they were a little worse for wear, let's just put it that way. And they were laughing at the England players because all the England players were drinking Perrier water. And all the Welsh boys thought that that was a bit girly, that was a bit sissy, that wasn't manly because they were all on the lash. England had just put about 60, 70 points on us. There were certain things that professional athletes give up in order to participate. You know, I think sometimes as believers, we think we can drag the weight of the world with us and the sins of the world with us and still participate and kind of hope that we'll do just about enough to crawl ourselves over the finish line. Athletes who want to win will make sacrifices. Athletes who want to win will be committed. Athletes who want to win will give up certain things in their lives for the sake of their sport. And we have a new motivation. We have a new motivation to participate. We have a new motivation to exercise self-control. We have a new motivation to deny certain things. You know, we saw that in Hebrews where it said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Normally, when runners are running in a race, they try and wear the lightest of fabrics. I mean, literally, they are developing fabrics all the time so that they are more streamlined, so that they're light. Sometimes you can pick up these trainers and you're like, these feel like paper. They're so light. Why? Because runners want to lay aside every weight that could hinder them winning their race. And Paul says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. But we want to drag the world with us in our Christian race. We want to kind of keep on to some of the things of our past, or we kind of want to let those bad habits into our lives. You know, we talk about backsliding. That doesn't always mean going back to our old life. That just means being not as committed as we were. That means being not as dedicated as we were. That means being not as 100% as we used to be, but being half-hearted in our Christian race. And that's not what we're meant to do. If we want to participate, then we are to exercise. We are to train. We're to get rid of the stuff that's going to hinder our race. We've got a new motivation to compete. That's our participation. But finally, we've got a new motivation to win. And that's the prize. Again, in verse 25, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things, how they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. What kind of race are you running? We've seen that we're not running against each other. You know, understand that. We're not trying to beat the person sat next to us. But what kind of race are we running? Are we giving it our all, or are we half-hearted? You know, our prize is an incorruptible crown. There's certain things waiting for us when we get to glory. There's five crowns that are available to the believer. And here Paul talks about that incorruptible crown. He says, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. What is temperance? Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That temperance is having that self-control. You know, you can grit your teeth. You can say to yourself, I'm not going to do this because it hinders my testimony. It hurts my testimony. I'm not going to do that. I am going to give this 100%. Verse 26 says, I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. This is running without any kind of purpose. You know, when my dad was a really fast runner, he had the Welsh schoolboy record, and I it was like either 400 meters or 800 meters, I think it was even in yards, because of the time in which he competed. But he was fast. He played rugby for Saracens, And I said, I remember saying to my dad one time, were you hard then, Dad? He's like, no, just fast. My dad was fast. And I remember as kids, we'd always have a race. You know, wherever we were, he'd be like, right, we race to the lamppost. And Dad would always win. He was so quick. I win now. But I remember it got to a point where, because my brother was fast as well. He did athletics in school. And I remember it got to a point where we were both kind of getting to the point where we could beat my dad. So then my dad said, right, we'll race to the lamppost. Right, okay, Dad, on your marks, get set, go. And me and my brother would shoot off to the lamppost. And my dad would run over to this lamppost. He's like, I won. Me and my brother were running uncertainly. We didn't know where we were going. You know, sometimes the Christian kind of loses focus of where they're heading, or the purpose is, the fact that they participate, and the fact that they need practice, the fact that there's a prize at the end of this for them. And we kind of lose our focus. He says, I don't box, you know, as one that beat the fear. He's not talking about shadow boxing. He's talking literally about somebody who just flails their arms about. You know, sometimes we've all seen that fight in school, haven't we? Where, oh, down behind the bus stops after school. He always knew the one who knew what they were doing. They'd stand properly and be like, ooh, don't like the look of that. And then the one who didn't know what they were doing, they were just running like this, flailing their arms about. And that's what Paul is saying. I fight not as one that beateth the air. There's a purpose in what I am doing. If I'm going to get that crown, if I'm going to get that prize, then I'm focused on exactly what I'm doing. We need to make every stride in our race count for Christ. We need to make every blow in our fight count for Christ. He says in verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That word there, keep under my body, in the Greek literally means I beat my body black and blue. I make my body behave itself. I keep my body under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Do you know there'll be many people who get to the Bema seat of Christ who will not receive a prize? There is a crown of righteousness. There is a crown of life. There's an incorruptible crown. You know, there are crowns available to us for those who love the appearing of Christ, for those who preach the word, for those who live in light of his coming, for those who run the race. There are crowns available to us. But do you care whether or not you'll win one of those crowns? Here's the thing. The herald here, the castaway here, during the games, the Olympic Games or the Isthmian Games, there was a herald. And what the herald would do, he would call out anybody, not who loses the race, but who doesn't give 100%. That's what a castaway means. So if somebody was running their race, but they were like, oh, I'm not really going to win now, so there's no point, they'd say castaway. And that person then would not have the opportunity to win a prize. Paul said, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be somebody that doesn't give it 100%. You see, what happened in the Olympic Games of Bible times and the Isthmian Games of Bible times is that the person who won the race would receive a crown. It would be a laurel crown, just made of laurel wreaths, leaves. But what was important was what they did with that crown. Because the same thing still happens today. What happens when somebody wins a gold medal in the Olympic Games? This is an easy quiz. This is not a young at heart difficult Bible quiz. This is an easy quiz. What happens when somebody wins a gold medal in the Olympic Games? They wear it around their neck. Brilliant. What happens whilst that gold medal is being placed around their neck? The anthems. The anthems are played. Why? Because they're not just doing it for them. They're doing it for their country. You see, when a winner in the Isthmian Games or the Olympic Games won the crown, they didn't keep that crown. They went up to the leader of their nation and they placed that crown at the leader's feet. You see, when we run a race and we do it to win an incorruptible crown, the crown's not for us, because that crown that we are given at the Bema seat of Christ will actually be given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Yes, we will win a crown if we run a race and we give it 100%. That is the purpose. That's our new motivation, because there's a prize at the end of it. But that crown, we will lay at the Lord's feet to say, "Lord, I did this for you." But do we care? You know, I my mind is boggled by some Christians. They're like, "Oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go straight up to Jesus and I'm going to hug on him and I'm going to..." But it's not going to work like that. For the first time in your life, you're going to be in full understanding of who Christ is. You're going to be doing no running up and grabbing hold of him. "Oh, thank you for the cross, Lord. Oh, may they look at you." You're going to fall straight at his feet. The crowns that you receive, you will lay at the Lord's feet. So my question is, do you care what type of crown you will lay at his feet? Do you care whether or not there'll be a crown available to you at all? We need to win our race. Winners say, "I have a plan." Losers say, "I have an excuse." Winners see a solution for every problem. Losers see a problem for every solution. Winners see a difficult situation, but the possibility. Losers see a possible situation, but the difficulty. Winners say, "Hey, problem, look how big my God is." Losers say, "Oh, God, look how big my problem is." Winning does not make the attitude. The attitude makes you a winner. We're not meant to take part. We are meant to win. We've got a new motivation. We have a new motivation because of the prize that awaits us. We have a new motivation to win. We have a new motivation just to compete in this race. That's our participation. We have a new motivation to practice. That's, we are to train, to bring our bodies into subjection and to train as much as we can in order to run this race, because we've got a new motivation to run. That's our purpose. Christ has given us purpose in this life. Christ has given us purpose in our race that is set before us. Christ has given us a purpose so we can run in order to win a prize that we can give to him. But do we care? Don't be a January Christian. Don't be that type of person that turns up to the gym on the 1st of January because you made some half-hearted New Year's resolution, only for that resolution to fizzle out by the end of the week. Give it 100%. Don't be a castaway. Don't be somebody that is just half. We've got enough half-hearted people in the world. The Christian is meant to be wholehearted. We've got a new motivation. So let's run our race to win. Father, we thank you for this day, for this time together, and for this opportunity to come around your word, Lord. We just prayed you would help us in this race, Lord. We prayed you would continue to help us when we train, that you continue to help us as we run, that you continue to help us as we compete, that you would continue to help us as we strive for that prize. Help us not to be focused on the person running next to us, because our race is not against them. But Father, help us to run our race, the course which you've set before us, and help us to run with patience as we lay aside every weight and that sin which doth so easily beset us. And we do it for your glory, for your honor, so that the prize that we win at the end of this race can be laid at your feet to say, Lord, I run this race for you because we love you, Lord, and are thankful for all that you've done for us. Father, we just prayed you'd help us in this race, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing our last hymn together. Upon life's boundless ocean, where mighty billows roll, and we'll stand as we sing.
Praise you again, and we'd be here in this place. We are thankful for the preaching of thy word, Lord, and for the reminder we've had tonight of our responsibility, Lord, to run this race as we should, and the reminder that we're not running against each other, Lord, but help us to be the encouragement and help that we need to be to each other. Father, bless us as we leave this place now. May we be doers of thy word and not hearers only. For thy glory's sake, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.